Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have some topics on tap today that quite frankly, I don't know that I care a whole lot about them. So if you hear what sounds like a guy eating leftover risotto in his studio, that I would be that guy.
Baby, how is that leftover risotto? Can I ask?
It's nice, baby. And the thing about risotto, it's supposed to be kind of creamy.
Yeah.
And like it gets a little richer and creamier the second day. So
I was going to ask, kind of like reheating, like what would you compare it to? Like reheating and it's actually better the second day.
Dude, I don't know. Lasagna. I feel like some soups are
lasagna, right?
Lasagna can be like that. Yeah, the flavors just kind of – they kind of mellow, man. They kind of deepen. I don't know. I like it. It works for me. Well,
guys, give me a second. I'm going to have my wife make some risotto and then put it in the fridge so that I can reheat it and have it tomorrow real quick.
Genius. Hey, Ted, I'm assuming that you'll bring a higher level of interest to the episode we will be recording very shortly. That is – all sports all the time. Will that scratch where you itch a little bit more?
I think so, man. Okay. I think maybe I'm saving myself for that episode.
Wait a minute. How come I have never heard of?
Well, we discussed that. This last week, Ronnie, and we said, why don't we do a sports episode? And Ted and I figured we wouldn't inflict that on you. So it was more like us being nice to you, not leaving you out.
Yeah, but now I feel like you left me out because it's like this behind the scenes like thing that happened that I wasn't a part of. And now I feel like my life doesn't have any meaning.
So this is one of those social situations where you really wanted the invitation just so you could turn it down?
Well, of course. I mean, of course.
Ronnie, would you like to stay on with us to record an episode focused on the NFL playoffs?
You know what? I appreciate that offer, guys, but the answer would be absolutely not. And thank you for asking, though.
Well, absolutely. Well, and I'm sorry you couldn't join us.
I know. It's just scheduling conflicts, right? Because you guys know I'd be all about that. You know I wouldn't even hesitate being a part of that, right?
Yeah, but you had to go make a pour over for 27 minutes, and so you just can't.
Right. That's what it is. I got to make pour overs, right? I have nothing better to do today but do pour overs, right? It's part of my sermon prep. So there you go.
Pipe, you know what we did just then? We enacted a little piece of something in the South, which I will call just kind of ritualized politeness. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
a great phrase.
Yeah, we extended Ronnie the invitation, knowing full well that he wouldn't be a part of it, knowing full well that we didn't even want him necessarily to be a part of it.
And that's the key part of Southern ritualized politeness, is that you invite people hoping that they won't come.
And you know what? I appreciate that, because as a Northerner, I probably wouldn't have extended the same courtesy to you gents, right?
Exactly. And I think Big R, Pipe and I both have you know, we're both men of the North in a sense. I mean, in that we're both new to the South. So
it's true.
I think I still think like a Northerner in terms of all these like social graces. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
maybe that's been the issue. That was the issue.
Yeah. You know, Pipe, do you feel like Southerners are more polite?
I feel like they have a higher bar for like outward politeness, you know? So there's just it's like syrupy sweetness.
Oh yeah,
you know where they're much more warmer on the outside. So when they meet a more brusque, sort of direct Northerner, mm-hmm. they consider it to be very rude. I find Southern politeness to be largely disingenuous. So it's hard to separate politeness from treating people well. And I don't think Southern politeness treats people any better than like Northern brusqueness does.
Interesting. Do you guys have any issues with people sort of like detecting from your lack of Southern twangness that you're not real natives there? Has that ever happened?
Oh, they know I'm not a native.
Yeah.
But that's probably because you announce it, Big T. Like you don't want to be known as a Southerner.
Baby, I don't announce it. I announce it by just the way that I look, the way that I speak. I mean
Big T, yeah, I love that. You're saying, dude, it's my life that announces it.
It's not like you have some nasally Midwestern accent. You're just not like you're not a son of the South, and it's real apparent.
I'm not a son of the South. It's real apparent. And listen, I have no beef with the South. I like the South. I live in the South. I have no chip on my shoulder vis-a-vis the South. It's just that. Like certain guys, and I'm talking about here, Pipe, and you can push back on this. I'm talking about young guys and old guys. There's a certain look. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Suss that out, Big G. Suss that look out for us.
Okay, so the young guy Southern look is a sort of like scrubbed, fresh faced, like swoopy haired.
The Bama bangs.
The Bama bangs, yeah.
I need some explanation on that.
Well, you know how the hipster haircut has like the razor cut part and the hair kind of slicked back into the side?
Yeah.
The Southern clean cut one is, it's a little bit longer hair. There's less product, so it's not slicked. And it sort of combs down across the forehead. And gotcha. It's the way that like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes had his hair combed for family pictures. That's and it often comes with like a neatly pressed like J. Crew-ish kind of shirt.
Yes,
you know, it's
very J. Crew-ish shirt. Khakis, standard khakis,
or like dark wash jeans if they're going more casual.
And if they have to dress up, it's a bow tie. It's always a bow tie.
Which you know, I'm sure I'm going to offend somebody. Bow ties look stupid on anybody. Like they're just a dumb piece of apparel. I don't understand bow ties.
You look like a toddler in a bow tie.
Yes,
you look like when your parents used to like take dress, you to Sears
dress
for
up
a
for
portrait.
Easter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And and people are impressed, like, because you know these guys know how to tie a bow tie. They're not like the clip on ones like my mom used to stick me in when I was six. But but they look equally as dumb. I just don't get the bow tie. I feel like they have a button that they need to hit so it spins. That's what I see a clown.
Dude, that would be awesome. You know what? That would redeem the bow tie. If it did actually spin when you hit a button, I'd be down with it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
surely that's a book title right there, Big T. Redeeming the bow tie.
The bow tie. New on Crosswalk.
I'm writing down chapter ideas right now as we.
You know what? I just talked to Justin Taylor. I've got a deal, man. It's in the works. It's in development.
You know what? I just extended it to a 3-book deal for the three of us. So we're in. We're good with the added you know, a possible adult coloring book to go along with. You know,
now, baby, is it one of the like minimalistic Crossway advances, or are we getting KDY money here?
Well, I don't know. I've never gotten a Crossway advance. So are those typically known to be minimalistic? You guys have to enlighten me on that.
I think minimalistic for most people, but except for a few people.
Yeah, they have their minnows and their whales. And I would guess that because of the niche venture that we're describing here, we might be more on the minnow side than the whale side.
Niche of a niche of a niche.
I mean, can we get a dolphin, or can, you know, I mean, does it have to be a minnow?
Yep, that's it.
Or?
Those are the options. All minnow, right. Or whale.
Got it.
Can we be sharks? I want to be a shark.
Yeah. Boy, you're really stretching it. You're pushing it right now, Big T.
Baby, listen to me. Speaking of something shark-like and something that deviates from Southern norms vis-a-vis politeness, I have to ask a business question of you gentlemen.
Oh.
Throw it, man.
Sounds serious.
Have we, since last week, since we called out, since we put Mission Aware on blast for our lack of swag, has there been any communique with that organization?
No, they not to me. I don't know. Maybe Ronnie has back channels that I don't know about. But we have
Ronnie. Do you have back channels? You seem like a back channel having sort of guy.
I'm actually a super back channel dude, but I don't have any going on with MW right now. So I'm where you guys are at, man. I'm patiently waiting. And I'm looking forward to the day where we're going to get some swag, because it's going to feel – guys, here's the thing, man. It's like delayed gratification. When we get that swag in the mail, it's going to be like Christmas, because we've been waiting so patiently.
When I keep, you know, and I keep hearing,
is it going to feel good? I feel like I've built it up so much in my mind that it couldn't possibly deliver.
When you first hold that Yeti mug in your hand and drink whatever hot drink that you want to stay hot in that thing 7 hours later, and it's still hot, kind of going into your mouth, that's going to be beautiful, Big T. Let's just be honest about that. But I don't want anyone to I mean, dude, we're all we love M-Dub, right? We love Mission Aware. We're just I mean, we're just pointing out that, like, we just want to have
the risotto's not
we just want to have the same gear that everybody else has. That's all.
Yeah,
we just
want equal rights. We want to have the same opportunities that all of our listeners have, except for free.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to have equal pay. You know, we want to have those things.
I would like
to be paid.
I would like to be paid in T-shirts and mugs and pint glasses and moleskins and even a hoodie if they come out with that.
This is like being part of this thing called New Wave Podcasting, man. We want equal swag. That's what we want.
Equal swag.
Right.
It's hard to be us.
It is.
This is a protest move of sorts.
Hashtag I'm with us.
Yeah, I'm with us. Exactly. Hashtag I'm with us. That's what it's all about, Pipe.
Hashtag I'm with us. I like it, guys. That says a lot for how we feel about nobody except for us.
Yeah, exactly. Does that perfectly encapsulate how I feel about us?
How do you feel about you, Big T? Can I ask you a question? How do you feel about you?
Hashtag I'm with me.
What about you, Pipe?
Oh, hashtag I'm with us. I'm a bit more open-minded than Ted.
Right. Okay. You're not so self-consumed.
I'm not utterly self-consumed. I'm just mostly self-consumed.
Hashtag I'm with us, man. I'm telling you. And if our listeners want to get out there and hashtag I'm with us, I think what's going to happen is we're going to create a counter movement here that says we're all about us. Because typically what you find in most, revolutionary organizations is they're about everybody but themselves, right? That's why we're so different.
Well, they're disingenuously because they want to be known as being about everybody else. But the real thing is they want to be known, which means they're really with themselves. And so the honest hashtag is I'm with us. Exactly.
Right. Hashtag I'm with us. We might change the name of the program to I'm with us. I'm just getting a vision for it right now.
Maybe Stephen L. Trogi will steal the idea and start another podcast with it.
Hey, before we finish our podcast, let's talk about the new Trogs podcast. We don't have to do it now. I just want to make sure we have a few.
Maybe it's your program. Let's talk about it right now. You want to talk about it now? We'll talk about it right now.
I mean, what is it called again, Pipe? Only the Good Stuff. That's what it's called. I blanked out for a minute there. So the first ep, it looks like he had Paul David Tripp.
He had the stash.
Talking about talking about wine and wineries and like I don't know. What else were they talking about? What were his topics?
Probably Presbyterianism or something. I don't know. What is Grace? What does Paul Tripp talk about?
Is Paul Tripp a Presby? I didn't know that.
He is. He was a pastor at 10th Pres for quite a while. The place where.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hold on. I'm going to go in and look. Okay. Doc.
Yeah. Do a little present show prep.
I'm doing show prep as we speak. So, all right. So it's if you go to the Blazing Center, you can find the show notes. Paul Tripp and I talk documentaries. That's Stephen talking, not I. I did not talk to Paul Tripp. Paul Tripp and I talk documentaries, wine, music, and comedy. Plus, they have a huge giveaway of something. It looks like it's a I don't know. Oh, it's an ESV Reader's Bible, which I hear are nice, but I haven't gotten any of those either. So, yeah.
That's because Mission Aware hasn't given us our ESV Reader's Bible.
Come on, Mission Aware. Do a partnership with Crossway and send us free things.
You know, I haven't been grocery shopping in 2 weeks. Mission Aware, come on, send me a box of groceries. I mean, when am I getting my groceries?
Yeah, I want Good Humor bars too. Send me those.
Yeah, well, I actually have gotten my case of those, so I can't complain about that. So.
Speaking of the ESV, man, I have a question for you vis-a-vis the ESV. A
lot of vis-a-vis going on today, but I like it.
This is great.
So it's funny, man. People in our little subset of evangelicalism, they seem just really, really worked up about the ESV being the only Bible to use. And almost to the degree that they've become a lot like the old-timey King James people were about the King James being the only Bible to use. Do you guys see this? Is this like a thing where you are?
Yeah, it feels more elitist than the King James only. Like King James only.
Oh, it's definitely elitist.
King James only is sort of like rabid and irrational, is what it always felt like. You know, like they genuinely believe that God spoke to King James, and that's where the Bible came from. Whereas the ESV people,
which is awesome, that makes it infinitely more entertaining.
Yeah, it's like it's like Thanksgiving with a crazy uncle, and he just starts ranting about stuff. That's kind of the KJV only angle. So it's kind of more cute than anything.
The ESV only angle is like having Thanksgiving with your uncle who's a boring professor.
Yeah, the alternative, you're like your cousin who is getting an MBA and knows everything about the economy. You know,
or worse yet, your cousin who's in seminary.
Yeah, that is worse. I was trying to draw an analogy, whereas I think that's actually the people we're talking about, the cousin who's in seminary. But
your actual cousin who's in actual seminary.
But yeah, so it's much more of the like it's the well actually crowd. You know, in Romans where it says this is a more accurate translation, and then I stopped listening. But it two decidedly different tones, but basically the same end. There is only one English Bible to be considered, apparently.
Here's a question for you, boys.
Elect standard version. Yes.
There you go. How do you deal with the well actually people in your real life? How do you deal with them practically? Big R, you seem like a guy who's pretty good at getting along with people. Like, what's your
I don't seem like somebody who's good at getting along with people.
No, I'm, you seem like the kind of guy stunned. Who likes arguing with
I'm
people.
I'm stunned.
Yeah. You can still answer the question, but
Ronnie, you're good at this, so you go first.
Yeah, well, Ronnie, you're our resident, like, you know,
man of the cloth. Well, MOTC.
And resident likable human.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I don't, gosh, I don't know. You know, here's the thing. Like, I know I seem like that, but I actually,
are you actually right now?
Right, I am. I actually struggle with the well actually crowd, like, to a degree that is just, yeah, I don't even know what to do about it, because there are those, like, typically, like, the well actually crowd, like, I have a hard time, like, being friends with them, because I just feel like there's like an unreasonableness there that just doesn't really line up with kind of more of my, like, logical way of thinking about everything. Or, look, can we just be honest about things? And that well actually thing, it just puts a knife into the middle of all that. And so it makes me just sort of shy away and not really want to engage at all, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to engage with this person, but knowing that they're going to WA me, like, I don't even want to go there, you know? So I just kind of pull back.
Pipe, what are your thoughts on that?
And I know I got a few guys that are like that from here.
Well,
right,
I think Ronnie probably has the wiser track on this. I alternate between being mature like him and reverting to college age Barnabas, who is on a seek and destroy mission for their stupid arguments. I find myself in person, I don't find it as difficult, because you can just sort of, like, if you just don't say a lot, they kind of run out of words at some point. I find it especially tempting to engage the idiots on social media, which is infinitely more fruitless or less fruitful, whichever is the right way to say that, than a conversation. And so, yeah, and it is always dissatisfying, because it does not matter if you're right, you always lose.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose.
And sadly, you're not allowed to tell them to just shut up. Like, just shut up and go away, because apparently that's not Southern politeness.
Yeah, the interesting thing about working at a college is that by its very nature, a college campus is like everybody's a well, actually. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
Yeah.
You make your living being a well actually guy. So I think by the nature of being in this business, I've developed some of the equipment to, like, just be entertained by it. You know what I mean?
You have to make a bingo game out of it, you know, in terms of you learn people's catchphrases and, oh, this is a trigger topic for Professor So-and-so. And so, yeah, you can kind of turn it into a game, kind of like,
dude, and you
kind of like the crazy
you get
uncle.
Copied on these, like, 4,000 word emails, you know, and it can be super entertaining.
But Big T, I feel like what's great about your position is that, like, you can always be the guy that gets the last word. So, you know what I mean? So you always can combat the well actually and just go, all right, class dismissed. No more words.
I guess so, man. No more words. Yeah, no, I get to decide words. When the words are over, which
you
is
nice. You're the decider. You are the decider.
I had a professor in college who was so good at that. Sam Storms, he's a pastor in Oklahoma now, but I took multiple theology classes from him. And, you know, I was at Wheaton, where everybody fancied themselves a genius, and and would just love to argue with him, because he wasn't shy about his own theological stance. He would teach sort of the full survey of stances on things, but he wasn't shy about his own. And then people would come at him, and there was always one or two kids who were sort of especially blowhardish. And he would just sort of put his elbow on his lectern and put his chin on his hand and just nod while they were talking. And then they would finish, and he would give like a 2-second pause and just go, all right. And then just keep lecturing as if they had not said anything. And, you know.
Dude, which is literally the most condescending and, like, last wordish thing you can do. It's amazing.
But also in some ways, like, a very gracious thing to do, because I'm sure he could have dismantled their argument. I'm sure he could have made, you know, been drawn into the spectacle. And he didn't shame them. He just didn't give any credence to the 7 minutes of useless words they had just said.
That's outstanding.
There you go. There's a template for you, Big T.
No, that's good, baby. I'm going to use that. So, boys, speaking of, I don't know, gestures and words, there were some protest marches recently, and I feel like we should talk about them. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say about it.
They deserve our attention in some way, shape, or
form. All right, moving on then. Next topic.
Yeah, it's a thing that happened, and I don't know. You want to talk about
that? That whole thing that happened on the thing. And then, so moving on, what's our next topic?
The thing that happened about the thing. I don't know. You guys want to say anything about it?
I guess it was last Saturday from the time we are recording this. There's the women's protest marches all over the country. And you know, I knew about them happening in other cities. I had forgotten that Nashville was also having one. And I took my daughters downtown for just to hang out because it was my younger daughter's birthday, since she wanted to go to a restaurant down there. And we got to the restaurant like 2 minutes before all of the protesters started filtering kind of into the downtown area where all the restaurants were. And the thing, the thing that stood out to me the most was how happy they were. They were upbeat.
It's fun. It's something to do.
Yeah. I mean, you hear protest in this day and age and you think like riot, or you think like,
I want them to be happy. I think that's right.
No,
man.
That's the thing is like, I loved it. And it also sparked some really good conversations with me and my daughters who are 11 and 8 about what are they protesting? And so how women have not always been treated fairly and these different kinds of things. So from that standpoint, I thought it was great. Now, like, I know that there are people who are very upset about it because of the ties to Planned Parenthood and many of the pretty egregious statements about abortion that were made. But I also know that that was a portion of the women. And then a lot of women were there for kind of dealing just with more general women's rights issues. And so I don't know. Overall, I thought it was really cool. And I'm sure somebody will be offended that I said that. But I thought the other thing that I saw that I thought was really, really cool was had some friends who were retweeting police departments from around the country where these protests happened. And consistently it was like most respectful, best protest we've ever had in this city. Zero arrests, no conflict. Wow. There were videos of like protesters high-fiving police and vice versa. Just the tone of it aside, and I realize you probably can't – somebody's going to say you can't say aside from abortion. But just the general tone of it was so supportive. And I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was really cool in that way.
That's great. Big R, what do you have to say about this? Was there a chapter of this in Ashland? Did this movement make it to A-Town?
Actually, believe it or not, I don't think it made it to A-Town, but it made it to our sister town of Worcester. Or if you were looking at the word printed on paper, you might want to say Worcester.
The big city of Worcester, the Manhattan of Central Ohio. Tell me about Worcester, baby. What are we looking at there?
Yeah, so we're looking at sort of an upscale version of A-Town, where you got sort of like this, this downtown urban revitalization development where everything looks kind of like small big city. Everything's kind of nice.
We got a little city market. We got a little hipster microbrew place. We got a couple.
Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. So it's like it's almost like a mini fill in the blank city kind of environment, and they're pouring a lot of money into it. It's actually really great because it kind of lacks the crowdedness of a city, but it kind of has a lot of the embellishments, you know. So they had a little bit of a march there, yeah. And I think it's like anything. I think Piper said it well. You know, I think these are issues that people are, you know, especially women. There's a lot of tension right now, you know, given, you know, what just happened with, the highest office in the land. And and I think especially in the church, there's a lot of tension in that. And I think, again, if we want to just go to sort of the pro-life aspect of it, I think you called it out well with that article you wrote, Pipe, which was how do we be holistically pro-life, because there was a subgroup called New Wave Feminists who are like pro-life feminists that tried to get in on the march. And basically the feminist organizations pushed back and basically said you're uninvited because you have to be pro-choice. Well,
and that was like as an official group participant, I think obviously anybody could go march.
Anybody could march, yeah. Absolutely. But as an official group, they were told, no, you have to stay home. And so there's for us who are, pretty vehemently – and holistically, as Piper really well, very graciously pointed out in that article, we're holistically pro-life. There's a lot of implications to that, especially for the church And just for looking at this whole, like what we would call the feminist movement as a whole, which again would be about a lot of the same things we would be about, right? Except for the fact that they're discriminatory. You know what I mean? Because they're not holistically about all life and about all life for women. And, you know, and so
I would just add on that point, if you want to see an exceptional 6-minute video on being holistically pro-life, three artists who are with Humble Beast Records collaborated with Desiring God to put together. It's only like a 6-minute video on what is pro-life from a racial standpoint, from the unborn standpoint, and from a gender standpoint. So sort of the three most kind of divisive issues, and it was so good. I mean, excellently done creatively, but also just the words they did. So if you just Googled like Humble Beast, Desiring God, pro-life, or all life, you would find it, and it's really good. So I would point listeners to go check that out too.
And I think, you know, it's weird. I was talking to my wife about this, and I think what it kind of showed me and what is that there almost needs to be a new category created, right? Because the old feminist agenda is discriminatory, and then you have sort of a pro-life agenda. And again, we're going back decades now, which didn't encompass all of life. You know what I mean? So it ignored certain things. I mean, to me, there needs to be some new categories created, like really with you know, again, some really great articles that I've been reading as of late since the inauguration. Even that article you wrote, Pipe, which is just, hey, if we're going to be about, you know, equity, that has to include everybody, and let's create a new category for it. Let's create a new title for it. And let's include rights for the born and the unborn, and let's not be discriminatory movements anymore. And so I don't know. I think it raised all those questions, and I think the church needs to have some new categories for it.
Well, and I think the more we can work on blending these ideas together instead of kind of – because I feel like the thing that happens a lot is people will take a stance on an issue. So women's rights, racial equality, life of the unborn, and they pit themselves against the others. And I saw an interview with one of the artists who's in that video, a guy named Propaganda, and he basically said emphasizing one person's suffering does not discount another person's suffering. And right. And I just – that's the thing that has gotten so frustrating to me about it is that if you point out racial inequality or racial injustice, people will say, well, what about the unborn? And I just want to say, yes, them too. Like it needs to be a comprehensive or working together so people have their different points of emphasis, but the reason why those questions come up is
they shouldn't be pitted once against one another. But the reason why, whenever you say that the question comes up, is because there hasn't been equity.
Right.
That's why. You know what I mean? So
yes,
whenever you go after
especially
one
in the white evangelical church, which has focused on the unborn at the expense of women's rights and racial equality. And that's, you know,
I mean, no question.
I mean, in terms
no
of money and effort, that's the one in the church the church community that we're pretty much part of.
Yeah, no, that we are a part of. I love how you had the caveat of pretty much, Piper. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm sorry, that was a misplaced modifier. I meant that not the entirety of the community has the same
sentiment.
Issue.
You were saying the sentiment.
So it's exactly. Not that we are not part of it, but that there are parts of the community that do a better job than others, but they're a minority.
You know, Big G, like that church that we're pretty much a part of.
Yeah, I dip in periodically. I sample church.
Is Big T still with us, Piper, or are we just did he bow out?
He's waiting.
Is this the equivalent of like sports for you, Big T?
Yeah, I don't know. I was doing some other stuff. But
did you finish your risotto yet?
How's the risotto?
Yeah, the risotto's finished. It was terrific. Thank you guys for asking. No, thank you
so
much.
Well, good. I mean, I hope that that kicks into your bloodstream a little bit, raises your blood sugar levels, you get some energy, you're not so hangry about things.
Chad, I'm just fascinated by that you finally know how I feel about the sports stuff. So can you want to feed in a little bit on this, man? Where are you at with this?
Baby, listen to me. I've walked a mile in your shoes now. And by that, I mean I've listened to 10 minutes of things that I'm not at all interested in. So I know now. I know how you live, Big R.
Oh my gosh. Is our friendship starting to like materialize into some new regions that never before existed, man? Is that what's happening right now for us?
Empathy at work, gentlemen.
Wow.
Except, you know what? We're better friends for it.
We are better friends for it. It's big now. It's big now. I feel like we can do anything. We can conquer anything. We can march for anything now together, Big T.
Let's march for each other. And by that, I mean let's take a walk.
I'm with us.
Hashtag I'm with us.
Let's get a beautiful baby coffee in that little place in A-Town we used to go to. And then let's go to the weird used record store and not buy anything. And we'll call it a day.
You know what, man? This is what I say we do. I say we do all of that. We throw the football around a little bit, and then we do a little march down Main Street for life. How about that? And we'll combine everything together into one holistic whole, sports and life. We'll call it hashtag sports life. I'm with us.
Boys, I have one more question for both of you quickly before we mercifully end this episode.
Mercifully to you. Some of us are enjoying this.
Mercifully to me, I'm not enjoying it, but I'm glad you guys are. You know, seriously, and I mean that. Like, I feel it's, like
that's a real sign
that's
of
part of being a grown up. Yeah. Like, I feel good when you guys are enjoying
it. Say, you know that's what a real sign Piper, of maturity. I'm impressed.
That's the kind of attitude we're talking about for people that need to be about all the right things, the same things.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Ted, you are an embodiment of the virtues we're discussing.
Exactly.
I'm with you guys, even when I'm not with you, even when I'm like, you know, looking at NFL.com as you're sharing about certain things, I'm still with you. You know what I mean?
I know, because hashtag I'm with us. We know that. We never doubted that for a second, Big T.
Boys, my question is this. Have you ever marched? Have you ever done any kind of marching, any march situation? And what
about let me start really quickly, because mine is going to take some time. The answer is no.
Okay.
My church was super – growing up was super involved in like the March for Life. Okay. So when I was before I was able to make decisions for myself and I would get towed places by my parents, I was at a lot of those, which are always – they're always that second or third week in January in Minnesota at the Capitol building.
It's a lovely time.
Great
it's like,
time to
it's
be
like
alive.
Negative 8 Great degrees and we're – I'm like I have a right to life. And it's not out here where I'm going to die in 6 minutes from exposure.
Exactly.
So, no, I was part of some of those. But at the same time, like, I make fun of it. But as a kid, to be part of that, I had an awareness level raised that I think has done me a lot of good over the years that I you know, I don't think I would have had if my parents had not sort of forcibly wrapped me in blankets and, you know.
Yeah, you're better for it. You're better for it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and mittens and stuck me out there.
You're better for it, like me and Big T are better for a lot of things now after that last admittance.
You guys really worked through a lot of things, and it was really cleanly done. That was really not tense at all. I'm impressed.
That's how you do it.
We're going to write a book about it, right? Okay, we got the deal. We'll just come up with a title, and we'll get started on that, Big T, whenever you're ready.
Redeeming Friendship.
There it is. Done.
Pretty sure somebody already wrote that one, but I don't know who.
I'm sure.
I think we should call it Redeeming Disinterest.
Yes.
Oh, even better.
Redeeming Disinterest. Ooh, I love it. Yeah, that's kind of crossway-y, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit. A little counterculture, but also kind of real theological.
Absolutely.
Piper, if you can just send us that quick forward for it, we'll get started as soon as we can.
No? Well, actually, okay. Could you guys just write it and then I won't read it, but I'll endorse it.
Can you just endorse it and we won't write it and we'll just release an endorsement?
I'll think about it.
Dude, I want to release a whole book of endorsements.
That's all I want. I just want blurbs. Endorsements.
Yeah.
Well, so
only blurbs, only forwards, blurbs and forwards. That's all I want.
There are some books out right now where there are enough of those in the book to almost be a volume, you know, where it's like 9 to 10 pages of endorsements and then the forward and then the introduction.
I mean, guys, has that just gotten – I mean, I've noticed that, Pipe. I mean, like, that has just literally gotten out of control. Like, let me ask a question. Have you guys ever – do you guys ever read endorsements in the front of a book? I mean, like, you already bought the book, right? Like, why do you need to read the endorsements?
Dude,
I'm assuming that, like,
only when I'm being petty and, like, competitive. You know what I mean?
To see who only got the endorsement, like, that you weren't able to get on your last book? Is that
exactly
what you mean?
Yeah, only when I'm being self-loathing and just doing something that I know will make me feel awful.
I typically order books. So when I get the book, it's like I already bought it. I purchased it. It didn't sell me the book. Right.
Yeah, right.
You want to know what I use endorsements for? Recommending Kindle deals. So when I tweet out a Kindle deal, if I'm not super familiar with a book, because I don't recommend only books I've read, because then I would run out of books to recommend. But
sure.
I go look and see who endorsed it. And I'm like, oh, I like those people. Must be an okay book. Knowing full well that none of them read it. But so I use it for that. Also, do you know how many endorsements I got for my next book?
How many?
Zero.
20,000?
Good for you.
Do you know who I got to write the foreword?
Who?
Nobody.
Good.
No forward.
Good for you.
No forward, no endorsements.
Piper, I love how contrarian that is, man. Were you doing it to be contrarian, or was everybody like, I don't feel like endorsing the book?
In talking to the marketing people at my publisher, we were all just sort of exhausted with the grind of the same old stupid stuff that gets done to market books. And, you know, some of it is necessary, but just those were not things we looked at and thought it was super necessary. And I think a forward can be a valuable thing. But I also think it's also not really a thing that sells a book. So, you know, if I had gotten, I don't know, pick your favorite pastor, culture maker, or whatever to write a forward, I don't know that it would have appreciably enhanced the book at all.
Piper, I told you I would have written I would have written an endorsement. I mean, if you needed a guy to actually push units, I told you I would have written an endorsement, but you didn't ask.
Here's the other thing.
You never asked.
If you want to effectively market a book, if you ask somebody for an endorsement, it's hard to go back to them and say, hey, will you share this book publicly? Because you've already made an ask. I would much rather have anybody who would have endorsed it like tweet about it. Because one tweet is equal to an endorsement in my mind. And I'd love it if they would share it more than once. But that to me has way more value in helping people know about it than putting three generic sentences inside the book that nobody looks at.
I hear you, man. I'm with you on that. I like that. That's very anti-establishment. It's very contrarian. It's very close to my heart. I dig it. I will never do another endorsement.
It's way less work too. Not getting endorsements, way less work than getting endorsements. Shocker.
Well, now your book's going to sell 4 instead of 5 copies. Can you live with that, Pipe?
If it sells 4 instead of 5 copies, I can. I'm not sure the publisher can.
Boys, this has literally reminded me that I have a book here on my desk that I've just picked up that I was supposed to endorse, and I totally forgot about it.
Well, see, we do serve a purpose. Look at us helping you.
Did you already just finish not reading it and then make the endorsement before the end of the program?
Yeah, I'm finished with not reading it. I'll disclose that much.
Okay, cool.
And the chances of me actually reading it, I think, are pretty slim, man.
But T, I actually I mention you in that book. Can you at least just read the first chapter?
Is this Ronnie's book? Christmas novel?
No, this is some book from some guy.
Ronnie, did you name a character Theodore Cluck?
I didn't, man, but I got close. I got close, but I did not. I don't want to do that to you boys, so I try to be respectful.
Maybe that would be amazing. You have my permission to do that.
Okay, well, I'm working on another one right now. I'll do that.
You
then,
say
if I get
do
your
that
permission.
To you like it's like an insult. I think it would be amazing to have a character named after me, especially because there's no doubt who it's named after because there's not a lot of Barnabases floating around out there.
I'd probably put a twist in it and call you Barney if that's cool. I mean, you know, I might just.
I don't know if that would suit a book very well. It's. Not a lot of great characters named Barney.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a matter of opinion, you know, depending on whether you like the Andy Griffith show or not. But yeah, I know what you're saying generally.
fair enough.
Man, we're just like, it's almost like this program right now feels like a gallon of milk just like sort of fell over on the table and it's just reaching the edge and it's starting to drip like slowly off.
You know,
the table.
We gotta end this thing because Pipe and I have, we gotta do our sports show, but, boys, it's been fun, and by that I mean I ate some risotto and did some other stuff.
You didn't read that book and didn't write that endorsement.
I didn't read the book.
Didn't really host this podcast either.
You actually really didn't. Yeah. But you know what that means? That means that Piper, me and you, like someday when Big T is not available, like we're able to pull
this
off.
We can do it. Yeah, we can talk
mean?
All the social justice we want, and
I think we can do
Ted
it.
Will not be bored by us.
Right, he cannot be writing endorsements, you know, on some tropical island while he's on vacation.
Oh, I see what happened. Like you guys have a thing now without me. This is good,
Ted.
This is Ted.
Do you think this is passive aggressive?
Ted,
right
would
now?
You
Big
ever?
T, I'm not trying to get.
Would you ever want to join us on a Happy Rant social justice podcast? We'd be happy to have you. We would love to have you on.
No, I want no part of that.
Oh,
do you feel better for having been invited?
No, not especially.
Okay, well, you're not a Southerner, so that makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're a northerner. You're actually more northern than I mean, I'm like a new northerner. I mean, you're like a native northerner, Big T, because you were like a Michigan guy all those years.
Yeah, baby. That's right.
All right.
Boys, we have wandered to and fro, which really, I think it applies more today than perhaps ever in the history of this program. We are doing great from a listener's standpoint. Pipe, you shared with us off the air that this program is about to set records for downloads. We've had our best month. No thanks to this episode, for sure.
Just because you didn't like it, Ted.
That's true. Maybe others will like it. I hope they do. You know what? I hope they do. But if you're a listener of this program, if you're a longtime listener, we appreciate you. We appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate you sticking with us even when, the host doesn't even want to stick with the episode. You know,
but yet you did. Hashtag.
Yet I did.
Hashtag Ted's with us.
I'm with us. Exactly. Folks, I am with you as well. We appreciate you listening. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.